Thank you very much. My name is Donna Gamache, and I'm Director of Governmental Affairs for Public Service of New Hampshire. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you today, members of the committee. And I'm here today to oppose House Bill 648. PSNH has two reasons for opposing House Bill 648, and I'd like to, as briefly as possible, you've already heard a lot of data and testimony today, but as briefly as possible, explain why we have concerns. From the Northern Pass transmission perspective, there's an issue with Northern Pass. But from the PSNH perspective, overall, transmission, electricity, how utilities do their business, there's a far broader reaching consequences as associated with the legislation that you've passed. And I think most of them are unintended. First of all, I want to just clarify one thing. I made a note to myself, and I'm going to be taking it out of order. But the previous speaker, or the speaker before him, mentioned that Hydro-Québec would be one of the main reasons for this bill. Hydro-Québec would be taking private property by eminent domain. Hydro-Québec, it does not own these rights of way. PSNH owns the rights of way. And PSNH in Northeast Utilities partnering with NSTAR is the owner of the project, not Hydro-Québec. Hydro-Québec is merely the power plant that's in Canada, or power plants in Canada, that would be utilizing and paying for the upgrade to the transmission line. And that is no different than all of the other power plants in New Hampshire. With the exception of PSNH's own power plants in New Hampshire, all of the other power plants in New Hampshire are owned by private companies, private for-profit companies. PSNH is also a private company. But they are merely producing generation, producing electricity, and they use the transmission lines to deliver it to the grid. Exactly the same thing as the PUC, I think, was trying to mention. It's very, very similar. The other issue is they're talking about Hydro-Québec as being a foreign entity. Again, except for PSNH's power plants, the other power plants in the state of New Hampshire are either foreign-owned, and I can tell you that they are owned by Japan, France, Australia, Korea, and yes, Canada. Not Hydro-Québec, but other Canadian companies. And they're also owned by entities in Florida, Illinois, Alabama, and then some. So I just wanted to put that in perspective when we go. When we're talking about unintended consequences, you have a tough job at hand, and that is that you have to recognize the unintended consequences before you vote. We believe that House Bill 648, in fact, was a knee-jerk reaction. And we know that the legislature in the House felt very, very strongly that the folks you have before you here today and those who couldn't attend today were scared, and they needed to have some certainty. On April 12th, PSNH did our best to provide that certainty. We removed alternate rights of way from our routes, so that all that is left as part of our project now is existing rights of way with existing structures on them today, except for the 40 miles up north. What we did in that case was we decided to start over and work with local landowners, so that we do hope to come back to this legislature and share with you that we actually have some agreement and are able to move forward with landowners that we have agreements with. And what our team has passed out to you is the map of where those where the rights of way are, but also simulations of those existing rights of way, what, you know, in different locations, what it looks like today, and what the potential impact would be based on the different structures that we could put there in the future. So now let me get back to my notes. You heard from the PUC that there's an issue, and you yourself are grappling with the issue of what does system reliability mean. It's important to note that this legislature has passed mandates, has made public policy in the past that requires new generation, new electricity structures, facilities, in order to meet these mandates. When you pass bills that require mandates to be met, that doesn't mean they're for system reliability. Case in point, the state of New Hampshire's renewable portfolio standard. What that requires is that every utility in the state of New Hampshire must meet its needs for its customers using a certain percentage of electricity from renewable energy power plants. The renewable is defined by every state has its own definition of what constitutes renewable. New Hampshire has four classes. That the four classes together combined, by 2025, it's expected that all of the utilities in New Hampshire will have met 25% of its portfolio that it provides to its customers to come from 25% renewable. The reason that New Hampshire did it, not only because, and you'll see if you go back and review the case of that, not only is it because New Hampshire really supports clean energy, supports renewable energy, and wanted to make sure it got a jump start, but because New Hampshire recognized that renewable energy is an economic driver for the state of New Hampshire. That's not for system reliability. So when these power plants need to get sited and need to get located, there will be a need for transmission. Whether that transmission is going to need the backup of eminent domain as a tool to ensure that these projects get sited quickly and not to a point that it's more expensive than it needs to be is extremely important. What you as a legislature have to recognize is sometimes when you pass a policy later that might be a knee-jerk reaction that it doesn't fit with other policies that you've passed. And the other thing, and I know that National Grid is here today and they have a siting expert, but you know, the work that, and they'll be able to talk to much of this as well, but the work that utilities do day in and day out is about thinking about the future, thinking about what the needs are. How do we make sure that our equipment is not failing, is working? Everybody here remembers what it was like in the ice storm of 2008, December of 2008, and then the windstorm just 1 year later, a year and a half later. Those were some of the worst times because we know what our job is. Our job is to make sure there's electricity. And the reason why electricity is important for the state of New Hampshire and why we take that role so seriously is because not only does it allow you to turn the lights on, but it keeps hospitals operating. It keeps livelihoods going. And by golly, I'll tell you, it is one of the drivers for the economic development. It is one of the most important drivers of the economic engines for the state of New Hampshire. And we know that the site evaluation committee that we will have to go before, we have not filed with the site evaluation committee yet, but many of the questions that you have heard today will be decided by the site evaluation committee. The site evaluation committee has to take up, the list is so long of all of the impacts and including local committee community impacts. And we would like to say that we feel very strongly that we have a very good reputation in the state of New Hampshire, with our communities. In fact, we rank either the highest or among the highest in the state of New Hampshire for working collaboratively with the state and with the communities we're in. So it does pain us to a great degree when we hear that we might not be working with folks, because we think that what we did on April 12th took into effect what we heard, and we did feel what was going on and the uncertainty that folks would be listening to, so, and having to deal with as they go forward. So, you know, the big reason why folks were opposed and have been opposed is because of we had to put alternate routes. We've gone back to the drawing board. We are looking at our existing rights of way and working with communities to make sure that we can do in that right of way the best thing to get the project done and also for the communities where we are. And you know what? That's the way the development process is supposed to work. That's the way New Hampshire works. You know, we proposed an idea, we received inputs, we heard concerns, and we're working to address those concerns. But it does take time and it takes discussion. And that's what the Site Evaluation Committee process provides and also the Department of Energy scoping process. House Bill 648 should be a major concern because it does have widespread and potentially unforeseen impacts on the infrastructure. That's not good policy. And we don't think the state of New Hampshire ultimately wants to restrict that. We don't think the state of New Hampshire wants to restrict new generation. The reason the state of New Hampshire moved forward with the deregulation of electricity was to lower electric rates. PSNH never stops to look for opportunities to do that. And I can see that I'm going on too long, so.
Thank you, Ms. Gamache.
Thank
are there,
you.
Are there questions for, nope. Are there questions?
Yes.
Senator Luther.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Gamache, you mentioned timeframes for owner agreements. Can you give us any sense on when that might be? I mean, there was an article in the Union Leader on Sunday that actually said that you were going to be able to pretty much come to agreements with owners.
Are you talking about in the upper, in the upper 40
miles?
Yeah,
the top 40 miles.
Well, we'd like to think that that's going to be done quickly. We have made great strides. We have a team on the ground. They're on the ground up in the North Country every day. We're using local folks, and we have a good portion of it. Where we feel we have agreement, we're just not done. And I don't know how long that will take, but we're working, we're pursuing it very aggressively so we can do it quickly.
Okay. Well, I did get one communication from a person who said there are helicopters flying over their property so low that they could see the people in the windows in the helicopters. that's news to me. Do you have any... Is that happening, or
we've
are you
heard
aware of that? Or?
We have heard that, and our team has, Northern Pass has absolutely no helicopters that's going over anybody's property doing anything like that. I will tell you, however, that under a federal requirement, our existing transmission rights of way, we are under orders, all transmission companies are, to on a regular basis using a special program that process that helicopters use to make sure that the sag is not so low that there is danger for folks. But it is not on Northern Pass. The Virgin rights of way or anything, but we are using that in other areas of the state.
Okay, final question. So I'm going back to that article I saw Sunday. If you're able to work out agreements with owners, I mean, obviously the ideal world is that everybody is a willing partner. I think we sort of heard that comment earlier. How does this bill, even though I'm a little uncomfortable with a couple of the words, how would that impact the Northern Pass project negatively?
Well, as I said earlier, the problem with the bill is not just Northern Pass, but it's all projects. And when I mentioned to you that New Hampshire had decided that it wanted to have more renewable energy projects, those entities that are interested in Northern Pass is one of them, but let's talk about all of them. Those other entities that want to, let's say it's a new wood plant or a new wind plant somewhere in the state of New Hampshire, when they know that the risk is there, that they may not be able to get the transmission line sited because of new, more stringent laws, or that it would be more expensive. If you pass something that says you cannot use eminent domain, it means that maybe those negotiations will be far more expensive than they otherwise would have had to have been. What happens then, even for those other projects, is when they go to get their financing, the financiers know that the risk is higher. When risk is higher, the cost of doing business with those financiers is higher. So all in all, everything just becomes more expensive going forward just because it's there, even if you don't use eminent domain.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.